So you have to just compete a little bit with the different noise of the fan, but we thought it was worth it to try and keep us a little bit cool this morning. No, I should preach down there, stand right in front.
Well, I was going to point it towards you.
This morning, you guys, we are in John chapter 1. And the title of the message this morning is Glory and Grace. And, you know, before we get very far this morning, I'd like to encourage you just to meditate on these two words for a second. Think on this. Think on what we are walking into this morning. When you think about the glory of God and the awesomeness of what must be there in the true glory of God. And because we really hope today to see from the Scripture, and certainly by God's Spirit today, to try and encourage us in some of the weight of what the glory of God is. And if we can get anywhere near that, then we hope to see this grace of God. Trevor, I'm hearing all kinds of... If you could really help. Thanks, bud. We all know about the grace of God. You hear about it. If you go to church at all, you know and hear about God's grace. But this is not the kind of day where we can hear about God's grace and just, that's another thing that I heard. I saw it on a Christmas card or something like this. Today is the kind of day we really hope for God's grace to reach you and to permeate into your heart. So church, I'm going to just pray a blessing before we get started. I'm going to encourage you to worship with me in a word of prayer. And if you would really like to hear from the Lord today, I would encourage you to ask for His favor, that your heart would be open to hear from Him. So if you would, please join with me in that, and let's just worship before we get into His Word. Our Father in heaven, as we attempt to even fathom and think about Your glory today, we pray, Lord Jesus, that You would begin to open our eyes and our hearts to have some sense of just how awesome You are. And this incredible gift of Your grace that is a big piece of Your glory, that You would be like this towards us. Father, there are some today we need to have a touch of that. We need to receive this from You. We pray that Your Spirit would do just a wonderful, powerful work amongst us today. So thank You, Jesus. Amen. So our main verses this morning, verses 14 to 18 of John chapter 1. If you've got your Bibles, you can see that. We're going to start out with just verse 14. We will be in those four verses this morning, so you'll see them. But if you need to see them as a whole to start, get your Bibles open. We're going to start with verse 14. And if you remember from last week even, at the beginning of John, John really opens his gospel on kind of a poetic tone, and just the language there is meant to capture your attention and your heart a little bit. He still has that kind of flair going on still in this portion of chapter 1. When he says this, he's speaking about Jesus and the way that He came into the world. He talks about Him like this, that the Word, and he means God when he says this, right? The Word of God. The Word became flesh. That's Christ. And He came and lived with us. He made His dwelling with us. We have seen His glory. The glory of the one and only Son, the one who came from the Father. And He came full of grace and truth. What a beautiful picture. There's so much packed into that verse about Jesus and what He is and who our God is. It's awesome for us to understand. So here He is. This is not a typical passage that we hear too often at Christmas, but this is what this is. This is talking about how Jesus came into the world. Matthew gives a very similar expression in Matthew 1. I'll show it to you here. Matthew 1:23, because he talks about when Jesus was born, one of the names, he had many names, but one of the names that was given to Him was Emmanuel. We see this from Isaiah, which we know means God with us. This is what we saw when Jesus came. And the disciples can say, we saw Him. We saw His glory, glory of the one and only God with us. So for anybody, you're thinking in your life, boy, I want to connect with God. I need to get closer to God. I need to know something about this God. The Bible's telling us, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. This is why, like I was saying to you last week, I was so eager to get back into the Gospels because I want to get back getting our eyes and our hearts focused on God's Son, Jesus. So if you want to know the glory of God, the Bible says, look to Jesus. That's where you're going to see it. What is this glory? What is the glory of God that he's talking about? You might think about that in the fact that God is in some awesome array of light that you couldn't hardly approach. But these scriptures are talking about a particular aspect of the glory of God. And it's this, that in all of his perfection and all his awesomeness, where if anybody were to come close to him, people in the Old Testament, if they got anywhere near an angel of the Lord or the Lord, they were afraid for their lives. They thought, I'm done because I've seen the Lord. I will die for sure. But this is the glory of God, that he is not a God totally consumed with wrath, but that he is a God that is totally consumed with grace. Full of grace. This is the picture of the glory of God that he wants his people to see. It's God's choice to be grace. And the word comes in the scripture in John 1:14 that he is full of it. This is God's disposition. This is his personality and his character. He's full of grace. That means there's no room for variables. As though, you know, God was gracious to me in that. God was gracious to me in this. And when I sinned this time, God was gracious to me. But over here, this is sketchy. Does he have grace for me here? Does he have grace for me in this? Scripture says he is full. That means there's no variables. You don't come to God and find a little spot. Here's that little area of God where there's no grace. Be careful if you walk into that territory. Done. No, he says he's full of grace. It's who he is. It's what he is. And you, church, today we need to see that this is not some soft, sentimental, hallmark grace, because he matches it with something else, that he is a God of grace and truth, which recognizes when there's sin, truth, which recognizes when there's things wrong, truth that will do something about it, truth is such an important distinguishing characteristic of God's grace. Because it is truth that led grace straight to the cross. Because he doesn't deny the fact that there's problems, that there's sin. But in his grace, he's determined to do something about it. The truth is, there is no other way to redeem his people but to go to the cross. The truth is, there was no other way God could truly, fully show the love he has for you without going to the cross. Grace said God wants to rescue you from the effects of sin and damnation, and truth demanded that God himself pay the price. So he did. Verse 14, he said, we saw his glory. This is the disciples talking. We saw his glory. Glory of the one and only. Now, you might be thinking, that's 2,000 years ago. I didn't have that opportunity to walk with Jesus and be like Peter and say, I saw his glory. I didn't get that chance. How am I going to see that? You know what? The scripture reveals to us plenty of people who walked with Jesus, saw him in the flesh, saw what he did, saw him at the cross, and yet didn't see his glory. Saw him go to the cross and still hurled insults at him and spit on his face. For us to have been there in the flesh and see him wouldn't necessarily have changed things for us. In fact, Jesus, in John chapter 16, he makes an incredible statement when he's talking to his disciples, and he tells them, you know, it's better for you, it's better that I go away. It's better that I go away, because when I go away, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to send my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who's going to come and live within you to bring illumination so that you can know me, so that you can really know my grace in ways that you can't just flesh to flesh. Jesus says it's actually to our advantage today to see him. We can see him in the Word. Why? The Word became flesh, and the flesh still is the Word. And God, by his Holy Spirit, can make that come alive to us. So we are not lacking any advantage, as though I didn't see his glory. We can today. He tells us we can today. By his Spirit, in his Word, we can see it. Now, last week, let me just show you this verse from verse 4, John 1, verse 4. This was from last week. We were talking about this, where he was talking about life. God was life, and that was a light to all mankind. If you remember, I don't know if you remember, but we're talking about this, the light of God, meaning, variably, that it helps us understand. When we come to, when God's Spirit has full residency in us, the lights go on, and we can understand. Just like when you say to somebody, do you see what I mean? Do you understand what I mean? You see, because the light is there. God is that light. Jesus is that light in his Spirit. It's his grace. This is part of God's grace to reveal himself to us. He doesn't have to. He could leave us walking around in the darkness, and he could sit back in heaven and laugh and say, what a bunch of fools. But it's his grace to continue to want to reveal himself and his goodness to people so that they might know him. So we started this morning in verse 14. We're going to jump to verse 16, because as we're talking about grace, he then says, it's not just grace, it's grace upon grace. From his fullness, it says, from his fullness, we receive grace. And not just grace, grace upon grace, upon grace, upon grace. What a God. What an incredible God. And his grace is to open our eyes and our heart. He doesn't say here that we received truth upon truth upon truth. No, it's grace. But truth is actually how grace works. Let me show you John chapter 8, verse 32. God's truth is how grace works. Take a look at John 8, 32, and he says, then you will know the truth. When you come to Jesus and you get into the Scriptures, you'll know the truth, and then what happens? It sets you free. That's how grace works. The truth works to set us free. Praise God. This is how it works. And how free can we be? How free can we be? How much good is it to us, the truth and grace of God, to bring freedom? It's vital to know God's grace for salvation. You guys all know Ephesians 2, yeah? We'll show that on the screen, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's by grace that you've been saved. It's through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast. Now, grace. You guys need to know that it is God's goal, it's Jesus' goal, to show his glory to the extent that it would lead us into salvation. This is what I'm saying. God's goal to show his glory so that it would open our hearts and our eyes and lead us by grace into salvation. Let me show you part of Jesus' high priestly prayer. John chapter 17. This is known as Jesus' high priestly prayer. He prayed it for his disciples, and he opens it by extension to all the church for all time. Jesus is his prayer for you, stating this is part of his goal for you to know him this way. He says, Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. This is God's prayer for you, and it's His goal for you to see His glory. The glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. God's desire is for us to see His glory. His grace. God's grace is the supernatural power that helps open our eyes so that we can fathom it, so that we can begin to see it. We give grace to see glory. Now, Jesus then makes an interesting illustration. So we get back into John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. He makes an illustration then talking about Moses. And it first off is tricky for me to understand how Moses has anything to do with this, even particularly the way that Jesus talks about him. But Jesus uses this as an illustration to talk about his glory and grace. Moses. So verse 16 and 17 say, "For from his fullness we've all received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." So why are we talking about Moses here all of a sudden? Moses is very, very famous. You might, if you ask the average Jew who's the most important person in their scriptures in the Old Testament, they'd probably tell you Moses. There's some very important famous figures and such there. Moses usually sits at the top. Moses is at the top. Now Moses, one thing that he's famous for, let me show you this passage out of Exodus 33, is the passion that he had to see God's glory. You don't see anybody in Scripture talk directly to God about this way, the way that Moses did, in his passion, in his zeal, to say to God, "You got to show me your glory. I want to see your glory." Exodus 33, verses 17 to 19, the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you've asked." And Moses said, "Then show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you." God's answer, in essence, to Moses was no. Basically, you cannot see all my glory. If you did, you just couldn't take it in. You can't take in the fullness of who God is, not as well as we are in the flesh. One day, we will see him face to face. It'll be amazing. But he wanted to know it, not just see God. Oh, God, you've got such a fancy haircut and such a beautiful robe. No, he wanted to know it, understand the glory of God. But he said, "I will show you a portion of it." Now, as we look at the next portion of Scripture here, the rest of verse 19 into verse 20, I want you to just take notice. You can go ahead and close and roll that next Scripture. Just take a notice how strongly God relates his glory with his grace, just as John does. God says to Moses, "I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence." And then he says, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But you cannot see my face. Nobody can see me and live." So God is describing to him here what his glory is, that it's grace. "I will have mercy. I will have compassion." If you want to know about the glory of God, you start diving into who he is as a compassionate, merciful, gracious God. Now, this is the exact same scene in Moses' life where he had just smashed the Ten Commandments because he'd seen the nation of Israel running amok, and he's gone back up onto the mountain. God's going to cut him another set, and the law came to Moses. And immediately, so we're just going to jump to chapter 34, but this is only a few verses from what we just read. Immediately after this, God describes for Moses who I am. He says, "This is my disposition. This is who I am, a God full of grace." Exodus 34, 6, he says this. He had passed in front of Moses, and when he proclaimed his name, this is how he said it: the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. This is our God. It's incredible. So when Jesus was saying, you know, Moses gave you the law, But I am giving you grace and truth. He's not contrasting as though like Moses, that bad guy, he gave you the law, judgment, and terrible. Jesus is really saying, actually, I am the same. I compliment what Moses gave you. When Moses gave you the law, he gave you grace. He showed you this is the glory of God. Because with grace, there is truth. With the glory of God, there is truth. And the truth is, we go astray. And we need the law to remind us how to stay on the path. It's God's grace to give us the directions and point us. Stay on the path, friends. Stay on the path. God's saying, stay on the path. It's the truth. It's His grace. Jesus interprets Moses, in essence, by saying the law is grace. Why? Because it's based on truth. It's based fully on truth that we need it. Jesus complements what God did through Moses. The grace of Jesus is not anti-law. He has fulfilled it. But Moses, of course, could only really point to grace. He hears it from God. He can go and tell the people, this is who He is, a gracious and compassionate God. He could point to it. But Jesus could perform it. He lived it. And grace flowed out of Him. You think of the woman who's been hemorrhaging for those many years and comes up and touches His cloak and she's healed. Because God is grace. Jesus was grace. He performed it and He lived it. Moses could report to the people, this is the Word of God. Jesus says, I am the Word of God, made into flesh. So you can see it. And you can experience it. We jump back into John chapter 1, and we see in verse 18 where he's carrying on with this theme. John 1, verse 18. God had just spoke to Moses, nobody can see me and live. John 1, 18, and he's saying here now, nobody's ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known. So if you want to see the Father, as Jesus says to, what was that, Nathan? He says, just look at me. Look at me, and you've seen the Father. Nobody can see God, not even Moses. But in Jesus, we see God, glory and grace. The Word made flesh. Jesus narrates God to us. And here's what it showed us, grace and truth. You know, the world is desperately short on these things, isn't it? Truth? Desperately short. Grace? Maybe even more so. Desperately short. And this is what God brings and offers to His people and to the world. Now, we're going to combine these two verses that we studied already, verse 14 and verse 16. We're going to just flash those up on the screen for you to see these two together. The Word became flesh. And we saw His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, full of grace and truth. And verse 16, for from His fullness we all received grace upon grace. So I mentioned this at the beginning, but as we come closer to the end this morning, I want to double down on this feature that he's speaking about here in grace. That in God, in Jesus, no different in the Father, there is the fullness of grace. The absolute fullness. And it speaks here about Jesus that He was full of this grace, as though He were drenched in it. But you couldn't find a spot in His heart where He wasn't grace. Where you spoke to Him poorly about His brothers and His sisters, and He could handle that. You spoke to Him poorly about the carpentry work that He did, and He had grace. But if you spoke to Him poorly about His mama, no, everywhere, perfectly full of grace. You know how many people there are in the world who think, yes, you talk about grace, you talk about love, God's forgiven you, and God's given you a blessing to you. He'd never forgive me. You don't know what I've done. You know how many people Jeremiah is right when he says, you can't trust your own heart. It's wicked and it lies. And our own hearts tell us that and deceive us. You're way too bad. You're way too bad. Maybe those things that you did when you cheated over there, God could forgive you about that. Maybe that thing. But no. You've got some stuff, some sins in your life that are such anchors. No way. The scripture says God is chock full of grace. There's not a spot, there's not a place where his grace can't permeate. This is part of the truth of God that he wants to bring into your life. Some of you maybe even are believers who you know that you're forgiven, but you still are holding on to some anchors and some grudges, some sin in your own life. Where God wants it all. He wants you to be free. He doesn't want you weighted down. I know that God's forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. All these things. You need to be washed in the grace of God. You need to be a flood in the grace of God. It's what he went to the cross for. He's done this for us. Waves of grace upon grace. Upon grace. His love. Now, I want to show you something. To me, this is so key this morning from Ephesians. This is coming off of Paul's pen, but this is God's prayer for you, okay? This is literally, because this is God's word, this is God's prayer for you. You can see it in Ephesians 3. That you would have power and that you would be able to grasp just how wide and how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ? And to know this love that absolutely surpasses everything else you know. And that you could be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. He doesn't want a spot left in your life where the grace of God hasn't permeated. He doesn't want a spot in your life that's left over to be dirty and secluded. He wants everything in your heart, everything in your mind, to be now awash in the goodness of God's grace. The glory of God's grace. The beauty of God's grace. To make you free. So that you would be loved and that you could know it and nothing left to stand between you and your God. God's prayer for you, a spiritual experience of the full measure of God's love in your life. Paul had an experience like this. He relates it to us. Let me show you Romans 15:9, because he's expressing how this is a part of who he is now. And how he wants that for the saints. When I come to you, I'll be coming in the fullness of the blessings of Christ. What a testimony to be able to say. And God desires no less for you to be able to go about the rest of this day and the rest of your life in the fullness of Christ, in the fullness of the blessing of his grace and love marked upon your life and upon your heart, for you to know the fullness of the blessing of God, that the glory of God might manifest on you through his perfect and matchless grace in Christ alone. Church, you know, I really pray for you to know this blessing. To know this blessing today. Just as God had given this prayer through Paul in the Ephesians church, for you to be filled to the fullness of the blessing of God. So we're going to close with a word of prayer. I want to be able to invite this kind of grace and blessing upon your lives. But friends, I got to tell you, I'm just your pastor. I'm not your priest. You have to do it. If you want it, you got to pray it. We're here together to worship. And even as in Ephesians, it says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, I want to see you. I hope that's your prayer today. join with us as a body, join with us as a church to worship our God in prayer, to see his glory. Lord Jesus, we have heard the testimonies of you. We know the testimonies, the long-suffering, the graciousness, the cross, the awesome power of the resurrection. Today is the day, Lord, we want to know more than just know these words. We want to know you. We want to know your glory and your grace upon us. Father, it's easy enough for us to believe that you are filled to the full of love and of grace. Sometimes it's harder for us to believe that you want to fill us. But we ask, Lord, today that there'd be no barriers left, that we could surrender ourselves into your perfect, good, loving hands as we seek your face in the name of Jesus, to seek your face, to know the awesomeness of your grace upon our hearts, on our minds, and our lives, to fill us up. Lord, those hidden parts that we're scared to show you and we're afraid because they're tainted with sin, help us, Lord, to open the door to those today so that you can take it and clean it. Set us free. Lord, set your people free, that the glory of Christ might be manifest in your church through your people. And because you are perfectly good to do better than we can ask, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.